Hi, and welcome to the Martial Arts Podcast. I'm Rick Marshall. In the last episode of Martial Arts, I spoke to musician and comedian Aaron Harkes. This time around, it's an interview with Spider-Man. May 4th is Free Comic Book Day at comic shops, libraries, and bookstores all around the country, so it seemed like the perfect time to talk to everyone's favorite web-slinger. In the studio with me today is cosplay artist Frank Gillen, who's been a prominent fixture of the regional cosplay and costume arts community for more than a decade now, appearing as Spidey and a host of other characters. Recognized within the cosplay scene as the Spider-Man of upstate New York, Frank is an accomplished artist and costume creator who knows all about bringing fantastic characters to life. I hope you'll enjoy our conversation, Spider fans. Frank, I feel like this interview might benefit from a bit more of an introduction than usual, because not everyone knows what cosplay is. Everyone's seen it, but not everybody knows there's like a term for it or an entire artistic community behind it. A lot of people certainly don't realize all the artistry and the effort that goes into it. What brought you to cosplay? What's your sort of origin story there, and what attracted you to it?
So for cosplaying, it really was in high school. I was into anime and stuff. Like, I'd always been into anime. But it wasn't until somebody I knew, like a classmate, was like, oh yeah, I'm going to a convention and I'm dressing. I'm like, wait, you can just do that? Because you always see it parodied like on The Simpsons. Like, they're like, oh, those nerd conventions. But then I was like, wait a minute. Because again, I thought that was fake. I thought they were making that up for the joke. But then I was like, oh, I can actually do that. You're telling me I could, for example, I could dress like Goku and go to a convention where people would like get what I'm doing. So I, you know, looked into it and then slowly but surely kind of worked my way up into cosplaying now as like a real hobby. But it really involved just someone kind of being like, hey, you know you can just do this, right?
It doesn't have to be Halloween.
Yeah, if I found out that Halloween can be year-round, I'm in.
Circling back a little bit here, I do want to know what goes into creating a costume too, because I feel like that's a part of it that a lot of people don't really realize. A lot of people are like, hey, you can go buy a costume somewhere, you can just buy something for Halloween. But when you decide you want to create a new costume based on a character, what's involved in getting to that point?
So I'll speak from my own experience. I can't speak for everyone else, because a lot of people I've noticed will steer away from cosplay being like, oh, I don't know how to make anything. And I'll admit, I'm not a craftsman by any means. However, I do have ideas where I can kind of work around the budget and skill level that I have to make something on my own. So some of my best creations, including which we'll bring up later, my punk Spidey suit, came from me not having necessarily the right tools and supplies at my disposal, but using what I had. So honestly, it really comes down to your creativity and where you think you can resource from, because there's no, I'll put it there here, you'll hear this on the record, there is no shame in buying a cosplay. Some people may have an issue with it, but just so you know, there's no shame in doing it. It's something you want to do, do it. You know, you can put your own spin on it, but if you bought your costume, whatever. The only thing that gets people mad is if you claim to have made it and you didn't. But you can say you bought yours. There's no shame in that.
Buy it and then modify it.
Yeah, buy it, modify it, or keep it as is, you know. So again, no shame in buying cosplay, because what I always say for people who do that, technically I made the money to buy this costume. So in a way, part of my efforts went into putting this together.
And I've seen you sort of change and evolve your own costumes over time. From looking at some of your background photos and things like that, your costumes have evolved and changed over time. Is that a thing where you sort of, you're always looking to move to the next?
A lot of it is, I'll see what works. And because especially with Spider-Man, which we'll get into, is that I don't see myself that well, like literally because of the eyes. So I won't know what I've looked like really until I've seen pictures of myself after the fact at a convention or something and be like, okay, I like how that part look. Might change the boots, might change a glove, you know, so it really is trial and error, like anything.
Well, something less obvious that's always fascinated me about cosplayers is the work that goes in after you put on the costume. The best cosplayers I know, like, they inhabit the role, they become those characters. It doesn't really stop at putting on the costume. After my son met you for the first time, he was literally telling his friends that he met Spider-Man, the real Spider-Man. So how important is it for you to personify the character like that?
I think so. With certain characters that I do, I usually don't, you know, do the role play aspect of cosplay for the most part, just because some characters are just way outside my comfort zone, or just you, that's not acceptable to act like that in society. But when I'm doing Spider-Man, I think a lot of it, I'll be honest, I just be myself and the genuine person that I've always been. You know, obviously play it up a little more heroically, you know, make a little more jokes than I usually do. But for the most part, I'm just being myself with that. And I think authenticity is really what my strong point is, especially conveying a character like Spider-Man. is you want to, you know, you're a real person. You're not this over-exaggerated cartoon character. One could say Spider-Man really is, but for myself, not so much. You know, I want this kid to know that, hey, he's just a normal guy like me. He just happens to be wearing a big bug costume.
Hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Martial Arts Podcast. I just want to make sure you know about the Daily Gazette's other podcasts. Gazette columnist Andrew Waite digs into the latest news in his Weighing In podcast, while sports editor Ken Schott has been exploring the latest stories in local and national sports for more than 300 episodes in his Parting Shots podcast. You can listen to both shows at dailygazette.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now back to Martial Arts. You've mentioned Spider-Man a lot here, and I do want to, what was it specifically about Spider-Man that attracted you to that character? Because that's the one you're known for. You are the Spider-Man of upstate New York.
So for the origin story, we'll get into that. It was, we're actually coming up on that origin story's 12th year in doing it, is that when the first Avengers movie came out, a bunch of friends of mine were planning on doing Free Comic Day at, they're no longer with us, but Comic Depot up in Saratoga. And I wanted to join in, but at the time in the Avengers, it was all what I like to call face characters, you know, like Bruce Banner before he was the Hulk, Captain America, Black Widow, all those guys. And, you know, I was like, I want to participate, but I don't feel confident being those guys. So I literally told my friend, you know what, just give me a cheap Spider-Man costume. I'll just hang out in the background. Don't worry about me. And what happened was basically throughout that day, kids were like, Spider-Man. We were expecting to see Spider-Man there. A lot of people wanted him in the movie to begin with. But I didn't realize also that Spider-Man is this big. Well, I knew he's big, but not that big to kids, you know, because I'd never seen a Spider-Man character actor outside of, like, Universal Studios. So I had no idea what the reception would be if someone was walking around as Spider-Man. And it really was from that point forward realizing that, literally, with this great power, I have such a responsibility to my community to keep that energy going. So that's really what spawned me continue doing that and improving.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Comic Depot there because I'm pretty sure I was at the first Free Comic Book Day at Comic Depot, and I may have some photos that also may be you may be in it.
That might be me. Yeah, I can tell because I've definitely have met your children.
Yes,
each and every time.
That is the most perfect segue ever because I took pictures of my daughter over the last decade or so with Spider-Man at various conventions and events around this region because she loved that character. Mm-hmm. You and I got talking about a year or so ago, and we realized that had been you in almost every one of those photos.
Yeah, I think
photos.
There's one photo that is not me, but other than that, I think there was at least almost a decade's worth of photos of me and your child.
It's so bizarre, and I can't imagine that my kids are the only ones you've seen sort of grow up over time doing what you do. Is that the case?
So I've met a ton of kids. I remember there was a group of kids that, when I was living in an apartment complex, had seen me as Spider-Man, and then they realized I was their neighbor. So one day when I got my new suit, I came up and hung out with them for like an hour in my new suit just to test it out. And again, I watched those kids grow up. Those kids graduated college in the time that I've known that family.
Wow, that must have been such a trip.
It really is. There's
both
actually
for them and for you.
Actually, last Free Comic Day, another that former roommate brought her son, and he's taller than me now. So I was like, I remember when you were like a little pipsqueak, you know, when I was able to pick you up. Jeez. So it really is the same. Again, same with your kids. Seeing your daughter, like, you know, she's what, 10, 12 now?
Yeah.
Again, I was like, I was there when you were in diapers.
Yeah, exactly.
How close am I to the grave?
Of you holding her as a baby. Yep. It's kind of wild. Well, you've been involved with cosplay in this region for so long, all over the place, doing events, appearances, but again, not always as Spider-Man. I loved your Kamen Rider costume.
Yes.
Let me just point that out. I'm just inserting that there. What have been some of your favorite characters or costumes over the years?
Definitely Kamen Rider. That was one that I've been wanting to do for, again, over a decade. A lot of it really was I was waiting for, like, technology to catch up because the rise of 3D printing helped that dream come to fruition because for the longest time, it was, like, one guy who made them, and unless you got a slot, you never would get one. So now that everyone has a 3D printer, there are ways to get, so that was a dream come true. I love doing Dante from Devil May Cry. That's one of my favorite game series. I a lot of times, I just do a lot of original characters, so it's something I just make up. Like, I have a cyberpunk character that I do. What is it? I recently just did my version of Link from Legend of Zelda as this kind of 90s skater punk. So I thought that was really fun. But yeah, really, it's really just been Spider-Man. But again, yeah, I think a lot of my video game cosplays have been fun. But yeah, Kamen Rider and Dante are two I can really think of right off the bat.
Well, if someone wanted to learn how to get started making their own costumes and getting into this cosplay and the community, what's the advice that you would give them?
Figure out what you want to do. And it's one of those things, it may sound cliche, but literally just Google it. You know, say like, be like, you know, I want to be Sailor Moon. How to make Sailor Moon, you know, outfit, how to make Sailor Moon skirt, wand, this, that, and other thing. People have files out. We can print a wand files. People have styling guides, how to style your wig. So really, it's much easier. Back then, it's like you had to know someone who knew somebody who knew how to do this. But now you can just go onto YouTube and figure that out. Like, I know people far younger than me who are, like, 3D printing foam, like, doing foam, like, designs and stuff. So I'm like, the internet's a great thing when it comes to, like, learning new stuff.
Oh, for sure. Well, where can people find you and your work online or out in the wild? Any appearances on the horizon?
So as far as appearances, this following weekend, you can find me over at Earthworld Comics, being Spider-Man. And then on the same day, I'm going to be at Saratoga Comic-Con giving a part of a panel where we're talking about body positivity in the cosplay community.
Oh, that's a fantastic topic.
So we'll be doing that Saturday. And then Sunday, I think I'm helping out with the kids' cosplay contest. So if you've got a little one in the area, bring them down and Spidey will be there.
We can find you on Instagram too, right?
Yep, find me on Instagram. That is at 8armedspidey, which is the number 8, A-R-M-E-D-S-P-I-D-E-Y. I also do the social media for 2 podcasts, This Is Rad, which is This Is Rad on Instagram, This Is Rad on Twitter, and Everything Is Scary on Instagram and at PodScary on Twitter.
Well, Frank, I thank you so much for showing the great responsibility that comes with this great power that
My
you
pleasure.
Have.
Thank you for having me.
This has been the Martial Arts Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, make sure to subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts and tell your friends about it too. They'll thank you. For more coverage of the region's arts and entertainment scene, head to dailygazette.com and Nippertown. This episode was produced by me, Rick Marshall, for the Daily Gazette. If there's a local art story you'd like to hear more about in this podcast, you can contact me at rmarshall@dailygazette.net or via social media.